Hey guys, PM, Economic Development Committee meeting for Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019. Alderman Frieder, Alderman Peterson, Alderman Coach, present. We also have Alderman Buckhout sitting in. Any citizens' comments? Seeing none. Minutes for correction approval for December 4th, 2018. Good. All good? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? On new business. Item 1. EDC 2019-01 building permit report for November 2018.
Okay, as you can see, Pete's out on vacation today. So just recapping what we've done up until November, we had about 251 new home construction that consisted of single family, some of the remaining build projects, and then the single family attached. So we're doing pretty well. We did get the December numbers out, and total we were at 260. As compared to last year, which is 166.
Only 36 of those are multifamily.
Correct.
So it's way up from even the year prior on single family.
Correct. 210 so. Single family plus the 14 that would be also 224.
Cool. Okay. Move on to item 2, EDC 2019-02 building inspection reports in 2018.
Okay, so we did almost about 400 inspections. A good number of those were done by BNF, but we still did a respectable amount. Bob Crater holding the fort, doing about 106 of those inspections, and Pete doing about 37, which is where we need him to be in the office for the most part, and then doing inspections on a parcel basis. He will, though, pick up some more of the plumbing inspector work just to be consistent with some of the field comments that people are receiving. So you might see an uptick in Pete's inspection numbers there.
Where's Rena Lane?
That's right off of Fox Hill subdivision.
Okay. All right.
It's the nice off of Elmwood. It's that upper western section.
Cool. Any questions? Item number 3, EDC 2019-03 property maintenance reports for November 2018.
So only 4 cases heard, all of which were dismissed. If you have any questions, I can either try to fill them or get them to Pete.
They were dismissed because they were in compliance?
That I don't know, but I will check. I believe the one for the water service was in compliance. The other 3 I don't know.
Questions? All right. Item 4, EDC 2019-04, Economic Development Report for December 2018.
Okay. So you got the report in front of you. I don't know if you have any questions, but I wanted to add another addition that at the time I wrote this. This was sort of like I had to write it like December 18th or something because how everything fell, and it was like, wow, I'm kind of not all the way through the month yet, but... So the brown building that D&H Ag is in on 47 South on the west side of the street is actually being sold. So this is not on the reports I wanted to report to you. It's being purchased by a man named Paul McHugh, who is a cousin to, like, we all know Bill. So Paul lives in Aurora, and he has a company with his son. His son's name is Nolan, and the company is going to be called Bridge Street Lumber. So he is going to have like a retail operation. The property right now is got office zoning on it, so he's going to have to go through a rezone. And what he's going to do is he's going to get specialty items like reclaimed wood, things that are really cool that people are looking for. So he's not making a lumber yard. He's making more like a specialty lumber store. Different kind of windows, different kinds of doors that he will have there. And he's going to create about 8 jobs. And also, I'm thinking that this is a possibility to be a good sales tax generator because it's building supplies. And it's really specialty building supplies.
So, high value.
1111 South
Bridge Street. Yeah, straight brown building next to Perfection.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So, D&H is not operating any longer. I don't even know how long they have not been operating because they might be gone for a while. They were not, I really don't know the timetable on them. But there is a renter in one of the spaces, and he is going to abide by the rules to let that person have that lease. But then his thought process, too, is that when that lease is up, he will probably take the building. But that's to be determined. But 8 jobs to start out with, and so it's really kind of a specialty type of a business. So kind of an interesting little niche. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the produce, because I think that's really an interesting concept. So Noe actually has a couple other partners in this business, and one of them is the gentleman that owns Flatso's in Yorkville. His name is Saul. You may or may not know him. But so their concept is they really want to get started and hopefully be open by February, because they're bringing in, they're getting their coolers and everything. But what they're going to do is they're going to be a produce market, typically for restaurants and smaller markets, but then be open to the public on Saturday, and most likely from 8 till 1 is what he's thinking. So the residents could get in there and they could, you know, really have an opportunity to shop and buy some get some interesting buys and maybe some interesting fruits and vegetables. And I think that, you know, they're hopeful that it goes over well, and I think that they have bigger aspirations to take this kind of to a different level. But this is a way for them to get started and kind of test the waters out. So just out there today, I wanted to mention that the Hacienda Real, that, you know, they're building, the parts came and they're assembling it. So you're going to see a lot of activity over at Kendall Crossing. You know, that in the other building, the flight building will start as well. There are two different types of construction. The Hacienda Real is kind of a building that's coming in panels.
Modular.
Yeah, modular building. Where the other one is the typical building that Jim Rados has built in the past, where more like a stick built with the brick. So lots going on there. So, and Grace should be opening shortly, as a matter of fact, too, because I know they were selling gift cards at Christmas. Matter of fact, we were the recipients of the gift card, so looking forward to that opening, because there's a lot of positive buzz. Planet Fitness does have their temporary store open. If you drive by, you'll notice it, because it's really purple in there. So, and it's next to the dentist, kind of.
When did that open? Because I had people asking me.
About a week ago.
I was going to say, before Christmas, they were asking me. I said, I didn't think it was open yet.
Yeah, about a week ago, they got it open.
Okay, so. Contact us over on it. Yeah. It was all over our Facebook page. So there's a phone number, there's the hours, everything.
Okay.
So
yeah, like the sales office.
Yeah.
Which is still the same. It expired end of the year, but then I heard the radio yesterday, I was driving home from Florida, same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's the same, I think.
Yeah, they're just... It's a new promotion. Get people in there.
Yeah.
Same promotion they had last year.
Yeah. But you know what's really funny? I don't watch a lot of TV, but we have people at our house, and on New Year's Eve, I just put Channel 7 on because it's like the New Year's wreck, and even then they have the Chicago thing. In New York, Planet Fitness was all over that show.
Yeah, it was.
They were like everywhere. They had the hats and everything. I was like, they were like the major sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like very, very, you know, aggressive in marketing and everything, so... So I think they'll do very well.
So. The kids were telling me that they have an alarm system that if you drop weights or you scream, it sets it off and it can affect your membership.
Yeah, no grunting, I think.
Yes,
what they
he
say.
Said that the Bond Center doesn't have that. That's where he goes
down. Yeah, and they have a couple things. They have
it sets off alarm.
No beefcakes.
Oh, boy. It was interesting. I never heard of such a thing, but...
Jonas is doing well. The whole thing is he's kind of got, as a matter of fact, I sent you and Bart the...
Yes, the elevation.
The elevation, so he should be getting that in shortly, so, for the Arby's, so that's all moving full speed ahead.
He's going all the way down to the ground with that?
No.
No?
He's kind of like peeling it back. It will look like a completely different building.
Okay, I heard he was tearing all the way down.
No, not a complete tear down, no. It's more like a peel back. Well, he is taking off the two atriums. The atrium that's on the side and the atrium that's on the front. It was that glass, you know. Remember those in the old days? Those were kind of like popular. He's taking them both off. So. And that's basically, unless you have any questions.
Any questions? Okay. Thank you. Item 5, EDC 2019-05, Clean County, 95661 Jeter Road, rezone, 1.5 mile review.
All right, so last month, Kane County Development Department notified us that there was a request within 1.5 miles of our municipal boundary. So that gives us the opportunity to review it and let them know if we have any objections. The property is located northwest of town. It's in between Galena and Jericho Road along Jeter Road. It's about an 82-acre property that was purchased by the Kane County Forest Preserve, and they are the actual petitioner. There's about a 5-acre section there that they are going to section out and rezone. The rezoning is going to go from their F farming district to their F1 rural residential farming district. I talked to the planner over there to see the purpose behind it, and basically it follows a comprehensive plan initiative to where they know they have a lot of farmhouses on the farms. They want to preserve some of their historic farmhouses, but they don't want to deter people from wanting to develop or keep these sites. So for the most part, they let me know it was basically very clerical to make sure that, you know, this 5-acre property, they're going to keep it. It's still going to be a farmhouse. It's not going to be residential. It's going to stay exactly the same. And then obviously the Forest Preserve is going to preserve their area. But if it was somebody else, it would still give them the opportunity to develop in the future. And then looking forward for the comprehensive plan, this is technically outside of our planning boundary from that document. It is just a little bit north. Anything north of Baseline Road is out of our boundary. That's typically Sugar Grove area. But we wanted to review it anyway just in case there were any questions or concerns and just give it a full, thorough look through before it went to Kane County's council meetings. So this will be going to planning and zoning February 13th. And then just any comments or concerns is what we want to hear.
Good. Yeah. Good. Okay. Item 6, EC 2019-06, massage establishment pet cement.
All right. So as everyone knows, we've been making changes to the massage establishment from a zoning perspective and from our licensing perspective. What we have done since now single businesses where there's just a single person sending out notices that they're going to have to get a license, but also that they need to have a commercial occupancy permit if they have not put one in before. So we've had a couple come in, and an existing business that's been in operation for a while submitted their permit, but showing they're in the O office district. At this moment, massage establishments are only allowed in the business districts, the B1 through B4. It was something we talked about as a staff, is saying, you know, does it really make sense? This is a type of personal service. The office district already allows medical clinics, chiropractors, very similar type things, especially for a single user in the office district. So we are proposing to just permit them as well in the office district. The only thing that would change in the zoning ordinance is just in the table. It would just say it's permitted in the office district. This is going to a public hearing also on the February 13th Planning and Zoning Commission. So we're just seeking any feedback or thoughts from EDC.
That's a good idea. So have you informed the lady from the previous meeting? Is that...
So this is a different person.
This is
a different establishment that when they turned in their permit... it was.
Oh, I thought this was generated from that discussion.
It's all similar, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It comes from a different, because the commercial occupancy permits we're supposed to get, and we send out an annual reminder, and you know sometimes we get new things back, and this was kind of based off the massage thing. They decided to turn it in and you know catch these kinds of things.
The content-related massage ordinance changes will be reviewed at public safety tomorrow. So,
okay. And that's where I read. Okay, I'm reading through that packet.
So the gist of those, just in case if you were curious, is there are physical issues with at least two and probably three of our sole proprietors, where they either have a unit so small that they can't put in a lobby, you know, they don't staff it, like it's only that person that works there, or they rent a single, almost like bedroom type unit within a larger building unit. And so some of the physical requirements in the code physically cannot be accommodated. So, you know, the proposal is that you would carve out those physical requirements for sole proprietors. So just as a heads up, there are some other objections from some of the sole proprietors on things like having to do a background check or pay the annual fee, et cetera. We're not addressing those necessarily from a public safety committee perspective. We're simply looking at the physical issues with the buildings.
Just so that's, I'll wrap that up then. So did we misspeak at our last meeting about the fee? I thought I read that, and that's how I took that as okay. So
yeah, that's in the memo for tomorrow's.
Yeah, that's where I read it, and I didn't know if that was in this one.
Yep.
What about the 550, 50, 50?
It's 500 per year. 550 every year.
It's not 1 year. I think we told her, and that's how I understood it.
Okay. Yeah, off the top of my head, I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's been clarified.
Wasn't it $500 for the establishment and $50 per chair or per user?
Yes, but it is annual. Oh, it's not a one time.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I remember reading it, and that's why it was in yesterday, tomorrow's packet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? Was it text amendment? Item 7, EDC 2019-07 Neighborhood Design Manual.
All right. So this project came out of the 2016 Comprehensive Plan. There were talks, you know, we focus a lot of time in the commercial areas of downtown, but the older homes and the old Bristol and old Yorkville, those residential homes are also part of the character of that area. So within the plan, it was talking about, you know, finding ways to preserve or finding ways to give guidance to those in those areas to help that area, you know, keep the character. Neighborhood design manual was one of the options or suggestions from the comprehensive plan. I am a graduate of the University of Illinois. Typically at our APA conferences, professors come, and for the master's students, they do capstone projects. And a lot of the times the professors and everybody there says, you know, we're always reaching out to communities to find work to do, you know, let us know if there's something we could do. And back in the winter, you know, I conversed with Christy that this might be a good idea. It's kind of a smaller project, but something that shouldn't take, you know, years on end, and probably something we wouldn't hire a consultant to do, but might take a little extra time in-house. So in the spring, we retained a student, Tony Heath. He spent the summer and into the fall doing a lot of research and a lot of field work. You know, going basically door to door, taking pictures, taking notes on all the houses in that area, and you'll see in the design manual it kind of goes through that. So when we were finished, we ended up with a design manual that contains all the existing conditions and what's there and the boundaries of this area, common issues with older homes, maintenance and renovation suggestions for those older homes, and you know, timelines on when they should check these things, and if there's infill development, the types of houses that you would like to see there so it fits in with some of the older homes. And finally, some green infrastructure ideas and tips, especially for water runoff being that close to the river. Some of these things can be very helpful in keeping things long-term looking well. To clarify, this is not a codified ordinance. This is by no means mandatory that if you live in these areas, you must abide by these rules. It is a guidebook for future use for people that want to buy these homes and maybe don't know the maintenance and what goes into them. But also in the future, if there's a facade program or something where possibly the city helps out people that want to renovate these older homes, we could ask them to follow these guidelines and follow this to receive assistance from that. So for the most part, this will be reviewed as well at PZC it's going to January 9th PZC for public hearing. So Yeah, so we're just looking for thoughts and comments, anything to add. Tony graduates at the end of in May, and you know, if there's more comments or suggestions to be made, we have a lot of time to make them.
Clarification, it's not a public hearing?
Oh, it's not a public hearing.
So it's just the PCC to review it?
Oh, sorry, it will not go to public hearing, but it will be reviewed by Planning and Zoning.
And a little bit of background on Tony. Tony himself, he's a practicing engineer. And he's had historic preservation background and projects that he's done. So he had a real good emphasis on the green sustainability portion of it. He also has some architecture background mm-hmm. as well. So he was highly qualified, actually more than what we were anticipating, and really took this project and didn't need a lot of guidance on our end to get it done. So.
No, I thought this was, like, so over the top in depth. Man, if they would have had one of these when I bought a house. But, like, that was one of the first comments I had as an alderman was, there's all these things that you're not aware of, because, number one, you're like, a first-time home buyer. But, number two, you don't know the historical reasons why you have certain things in your homes. And the first four or five, like, you know, flicks the document, this is an asset. I'm pretty impressed with the way that it turned out, because one of the things that scares most people when they're, you know, addicted to HGTV are renovation costs. Well, if you just had a location-specific, city-specific way to kind of dive into some of those repairs, I think you're a good place to start. So I'm impressed. Yeah?
Yeah, the only thing that I noticed about it was, so you said it has no, like, our building inspector is not going to go out and look at these previous houses that they've checked in. Said, oh, no, this is wrong, you have to change it. That's not going to happen.
No, because that's separate from code upgrades. These are just more aesthetic and kind of
so they would just guidelines. This would be more voluntary then.
It's a recommendation, yes.
Mm-hmm. And is the public going to have access to this?
Yes.
So they could actually look through it, too, because
yes.
I think that would be more beneficial. Well, I assume that you guys use it, too. So.
Right, so we're going to create right now a web page with all this information so that people can have access to it before it goes to City Council for final adoption. But we're also trying to think of a campaign to kind of get it out there after it's been adopted. So
it would be neat if the homeowners could get it when they buy, just so they have an idea, something to look at.
Yeah, something how you, the city can, or if they ruin in town looking, the city could say, look at this document. Might interest you.
Yeah, maybe get in front of some of the real estate broker offices and have like a tell them where the website is so they can access it. It's a great listing tool for somebody to show, like, hey, look at what you could do if you wanted to.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah, the only thing that wasn't specifically mentioned was septic.
Because the city would have.
But that, like, just when we were having that meeting a couple months ago about the forced annexation. The comments about the homes in just north of Maine, next to Terry Lane, talking about where their septic field sits in comparison where the road is and where, like, because some of their septic fields are in the front yard. Just comments like that are things that I never think about because I have a new house, or newer house. So that's the only thing that I didn't see in here was a comment about septic. I mean, they mentioned plumbing and maintenance, you know, and having your main, replacing a root-infested main pipe. They mentioned that. There's no mention of septic, which I know a majority of homes either have that or a relatively good pipe.
Might be good to cross-reference Eric's databases and put in a list in there. I think that all of them are north of the river, so there is some applicability here, but it might be good to just list them and then direct people to resources.
How do I get a good shot?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Chris?
I think it's a good document because there's a lot of information that is laid out. Like Joel said, you know, it gets into the different elements that you could have to deal with for an older home. One thing that kind of stands out here is we refer to these as old home. You know, that's a very generic term, doesn't get into anything defining. You know, we talk about homes going all the way back to the settlement of the area and current. You you know, what is really an old home. We don't define that. Maybe that's something we should do. I know we're not trying to create a historic overlay or district with this right now. I'd like to see that at some point, but that's not what this does. But maybe kind of narrowing down, what is old home? Are we saying it's a 50-year-old home? Is it a 75-year-old?
Historic.
Yeah, we want to steer away from that word for this document because I don't want to try to tie that together. That's, if this was a historic neighborhood guideline, this would be much more specific. I would expect it to be getting into, you know, like on page...
40-page documents. So.
Yeah, the one we're talking about, the windows and the actual, you know, crown buildings around it, those type of things. Yeah, you'd want to be very specific. Here, this is very high-level general. So maybe a definition of that type of, you know, nature, so we can kind of delineate the newer versus those old homes. But something that I came across, the dollar numbers that are in here, the figures, we have no disclaimer. I think that it would be beneficial to either eliminate some of those dollar figures that are in there, because they're very speculative based on the reports that you go to. You know, I don't want to tie us down necessarily without having a good disclaimer. You know, if we put a good disclaimer in with it, that's one thing. But some of these numbers, we may need to, I think, maybe remove some of them and just kind of say, you know, here's the article, here's the source, because that's where they're really referenced. Mm-hmm. I'd rather rely on their data in terms of those dollar signs instead of repeating them here.
Yeah. The pipe routes, $5,000 to $20,000.
Right, so
and that's wide enough where you're not going to get held down.
But some of these were saying $200 for an item, you know, and we say it could be, it's a range.
Sure, yeah.
But maybe some disclosure in there.
I think we can do a good disclaimer.
Something of that sort.
Yeah.
It would help. One thing I noticed, check the links on here. Some of them do not work. Some of the websites do not work. Maybe it's just a .net, .com. But take a look at those. You know, I did come across some errors in that. I know they're not clicked through either. But just look at that. And, you know, one of the things on talking about permeable pavement, there's one word that stuck out here that I didn't really care for. If you go to page 74 of the packet, it's the in the gray box, lower left corner.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says filter water to the underlying reservoir layer. I don't really think that we would want, and this is a residential neighborhood, that that's really a reservoir layer. It's more, it's a percolation or infiltration layer.
So I can picture the where the L is.
Yeah, it will. It's just in the box, in the gray box.
The very last line, right?
Yeah.
25 of it. Just getting technical on that one. I don't think we want them as a reservoir in a, you know, this type of application. I think that's... But, yeah, I think generally very high level, and it's a good document as an informational thing. And maybe that's something in our purpose. We put a little more about this being more informational as a homeowner's guide. I don't want this to be seen by from anybody as this is a mandate.
Right.
I would agree.
Just informational. So
that is correct.
Our executive summary should probably be outlined a little bit with that. Just informational.
Because if you look at, let's say, the roofing section where it says roofing problem, their source is moneycrashers.net, which I don't know that. I could give you probably three or four websites that would be better.
And I would say that on that... That appears to be a... It's a non-governmental. It doesn't seem to be a non-for-profit. It's a for-profit, it appears. So maybe you look at our sightings and...
And I would challenge them with some of the statistics on roofing. It says steel is 4 to 60 years for the longevity. The steel could outlast all of us. So, I mean, I'm in the roofing business and siding business. So when you look at some of these, I think some of the numbers are a little skewed because maybe they're not... Maybe this... Moneycrashers.net isn't a roofing company. They're just kind of throwing out renovation numbers.
Yeah.
Moneycrashers.net does not lead me to believe that they are a roofing expert, essentially.
Yeah, I believe they're a financial
Right. Group.
So they're looking at...
It's very general.
How do we get people to refine...
Yeah.
So would you prefer following that up with, you know, we talked about a disclaimer or even removing money from, you know, certain dollar amounts from it. Would you rather see the removal completely so we make... You know, I thought we went through to make sure we got rid of any private sources through our review.
I mean,
but, yeah, we definitely were, yeah.
Because,
sure.
I mean, there may
absolutely.
Be, you know.
I mean, it, overall, it's good. It's just when you look at the materials, what does it say? Roof material, asphalt shingles, 15 to 40 years. That's a generalization. I mean, there's some that are, they could last 50 or 60. You know what I'm saying? So when you get to steel, there's steel out there now that, I mean, it has a lifetime warranty that's a true lifetime for that original person. So theoretically, that could last 85 years.
Right.
So if you're going to make a generalization.
Or saying 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, state highways were, you know, with the right mix of building in 50 years. That's,
yeah.
It depends on a lot of factors. As long as we, you know, disclaim our numbers and our figures here. Which I think most of these have a reference to some other source. Mm-hmm. So as long as we're citing it, you know, it's legitimate in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. One thing I didn't see too, going through again, just because I just caught my attention, the 6-month and the annual maintenance checklist, this is just a suggestion, but for fire code, I would say check your lint traps. Dryer lint traps, because that's something that, what is it, 15,000 homes a year, something like that, in the United States has a fire because of a lint trap. So it's something that, being in the building industry, we always talked about checking several times a year.
Absolutely.
Or every load.
Right. Yeah. Well, that the screen, but then the actual
track. Or it goes outside, right?
Yeah. Because it's supposed to, I can't remember what building code is on that. It's supposed to be a short run with minimal bends. So, really, you should do that.
I think it works better, too, when you do it that way.
Oh, yeah.
If you put a bend
it's just like that screen. It's going to dry a lot faster if that screen, you clean that every load.
Yep.
And then on the actual residential projects map, is that our data from what actually has residential homes on it? Or residential units?
Which
one are you talking about? Page 5, the one that just has the...
Residential properties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was from our field work going piece by piece. That would be all residential properties in that area.
There are a few that I would... I'll point you to. I'll just mark them up and send them to you because they are actually residential. Looking at them, I think there's maybe 4 or 5 that should be identified still in addition to what's on there.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that's just an oversight, but it just looks like there are a few more that...
And we did this with the GIS layer, so it'll be easy
to
add.
Yeah, it'll be real quick.
Because it looks like some of these, if somebody has a vacant parcel, they're not considered residential at this point. Makes sense. Okay.
And actually, on that note, Tony created and Jason created an app.
Hmm?
So that each of the parcels that we identified has a picture associated with it and a spreadsheet that has all the information about each of the homes.
That's cool.
So,
that's nice.
If you want to dive into the data,
right.
I can give that to you.
Provide that.
I wouldn't mind.
So now, if someone comes to us and they see this and they say, we want to do this, is there an incentive involved in it from us to do it yet?
Not at this point,
that's to come, maybe.
Okay. Well, I guess it all depends.
That's what I want.
Old home is too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, and that's. I think that's the next point. That's what I'm saying. Brought up when we've talked about it back and forth with the historic district and overlay for key homes that fit certain criteria, and then incentivize those structures. That's something down the road to look at. You know, which homes would qualify into that? What could we do? Is there any monies out there elsewhere? But try to make it work.
And this is just exterior, right? You're not really talking about interior.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for the input.
Any old business? I don't see any additional business. Not adjourned.